1 Kings chapter 8, please, tonight. I want to turn there, and I want you to stand. We'll look at verse 54 is where we'll start. That's a long chapter. But we want to look at verse 54 and bring you something I believe God has put on my heart. At least He touched me with this, and I pray God will help us. He said in verse 54, 1 Kings chapter 8, He said, "It was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people Israel, or unto his people Israel. He said, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." You can be seated and let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of the precious unadulterated Word of God. I pray you'd give us something that'll be strengthening, something that'll be encouraging, something that'll be challenging, Lord, something that'll stir our minds and hearts into action. Lord, when we leave here tonight, may we be able to say in our heart, "We got something from you. You spread the table. Help us to eat, Lord, from the riches of your grace tonight. May we learn and gather what that which we need to have strength to go in the days ahead. We'll give you the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' blessed and holy name we pray. Amen." Now, I want to look at something tonight, a little thought, and I pray that God might help us. I ask the Lord to give us something that we need. I believe we need this tonight. I got to thinking about prayer life and praying. And if I ask you tonight, do you pray, you're going to tell me, amen. Now, whether you do or don't, you're going to tell me you do. Now, and I doubt that very seriously in here that we have anybody. I doubt there's anybody in here don't pray some. Amen. I believe everybody in here prays. I'm afraid we don't pray enough. I'm afraid tonight that we don't pray like we ought to pray. And if you took inventory of your soul, you tonight know whether you do or not, and God knows. But I got to thinking about this. Lord, how do we know whether folks around us are praying? I don't believe we ought to be judgmental. I don't believe we ought to be trying to pick on anybody to see. But God gave me some thoughts here tonight that I want to relay to you that He touched me with this afternoon in studying the Word of God, and I pray that God might give it to you. To you as you need it tonight as well. Simply this, that God can give us out of the Word of God some evidence of praying men and women. So I want to preach on a little thought tonight, the characteristics of a praying man. Amen. I can tell some of you in here don't pray much, if at all. I can tell some of you in here pray little. Amen. And I pray that some of you pray more than others. And if you'll stop and think of this tonight, you can pick it out. Why do they people ask the preacher to pray? Because they believe he does pray, or at least expect him to pray. Isn't that right? Amen. You say, well, you know, if I wouldn't want to ask nobody to pray for me if I know they didn't pray. And I won't ask nobody to pray for me if I know they're in need of prayer. And I'm not talking about all of us are in need of prayer in a sense, but I'm talking about if I know they're sinful and ungodly, why would I ask them to pray? They need to repent themselves before they can help me. So I want to give you a few things. I got four, five, six things that God give me just sitting there this afternoon, and I quit after I got that many. I thought, that's enough. You can go home and think on some more. But I say this tonight in the introduction, going back into the eighth chapter of the book of 1 Kings, in the first part of it, the Bible said, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, and he brought them all in there, and they assembled themselves at the house of the Lord. And God had led him to build the house. And then we find that what he said in verse number 22, something about him in chapter number 8. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward God. He got before the altar, and this is what he's doing. He's standing before the altar. Somewhere in the course of time during that prayer, and that's what he's doing from verse number 22 on down to verse number 53, he is praying. He's seeking the face of God. When you get home, read that prayer. But when verse number 54, his praying somewhere got him off his feet and put him on his knees. Somebody said, should we pray on our knees? Can we stand up? Yes, you can. Can you lay down? Yes, you can. You didn't even pray while you're driving down the road. You better pray a little bit, amen, going down the road. And I'm telling you tonight that the position of your body is not what God's concerned with. He's concerned about the position of your heart. Amen. And I'm glad that we have the throne room to go into. Now we'll see that he's praying. He's preaching in the verses 54 through 61 that I began to read a while ago. And then we find that he is doing something else from verse 62 to 66. He's praising. That's three good things to put in the house of God every time you go, isn't it? Praying, preaching, and praising. That's three good places for all us saints to be. That's what we get down at the house of God. Preaching, praying, and praising. That's the three things we ought to major on here. That's right. We praise him through our testimonies. Praise him through our singing. Now, I want us to just think on this a minute. Prayer, I believe tonight, gets God's attention. Matter of fact, I believe that's the main thing that gets God's attention. God sees the wicked. God sees your bad deeds. God sees the things you do. But if you want to really get God's attention, you call his name in prayer and you will get his attention. Amen. That's what God does. Prayer not only gets God's attention, but it moves God's heart. It'll even move heaven. Matter of fact, I read through the scriptures that men who prayed, even God would send the angels down to take care of them every once in a while. So praying will move heaven on your soul. Amen. It'll not only do that tonight, but prayer will move men and women when nothing else will move them. I can pray for you tonight and God can touch you whether you want to be touched or not. Amen. God can put you in the right attitude to call on his name. You may not want God tonight, but if enough of us go to praying for you to heaven tonight, God can introduce you to something strange, and brother, he can touch you and get you to want to call upon him. He can do that. That's called conviction. God does that. Matter of fact, prayer moves God. It moves God's heart, and it moves heaven, and it moves men. It moves nations, and it even moves families. Hey, praying families stay together, and it moves us. How many times have you seen God move in your heart and your life? All right? Now, could you tell if somebody prays or not? Oh, I don't know whether they pray or not, preacher. I don't know whether. Let me just give you some characteristics of praying men and praying women, and we'll give you a few examples of that in the Bible. Number one, praying men, and I'm just using this in the masculine gender, but we'll talk about ladies too. It includes you, by the way. Praying men are always humble men. You get in touch with God, and you'll get that arrogance out of you. Hey, that's why I despise, what I call just smart aleckness. I hate to get around so much a smart aleck. Amen. I don't like a smart aleck. And I want you to know, if you've been to the throne of God recently, and you stay at the throne of God, you will not want to be a smart aleck. You can't get in the very presence of God in the throne room and be such. I believe it will humble you. I read in the Word of God that one thing that prayer will take care of is the first thing that God said He hates, and that's pride. God will humble you. You cannot. What did He say? If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face. Pray in me. I'm talking about a characteristic. You find somebody that's always a smart aleck. You find somebody that's always trying to make a joke out of the things of God. You find somebody tonight that feels like they don't need prayer. That's always kind of arrogant and smart mouthed. You can mark it down. They do not pray. I didn't say they're lost. They might be. But I'll say one thing. You don't go to the throne of God and become a smart aleck. Amen. It'll humble you. I read in the Word of God, when people come to the Lord and come to the knowledge of the truth, brother, it squeezes their hearts and the tears roll out of their eyes. Brother, God knows how you to get, He knows how to squeeze you. God knows how, and it's humility. And in humbleness, God blesses. Hey, every time I go to the throne of God, brother, I don't come away laughing. I don't come away unless I'm a shouting because of the glory of God. But I tell you, when I go to the throne of God and leave it, I tell you, I know I've been in the presence of holiness. I've been in the presence of deity. I've been in the presence of the Almighty. And brother, I want you to know, I see nothing good about me, but I see everything good about Him. And I come out with an humble attitude. Child of God, we come to church, we ought to become prayed up, and we'd come in humble. Amen. No arrogance. You said, you're talking to me. I don't worry, I'm an aunt. Amen. I don't know your heart. Amen. But I know one thing. Praying men, brother, are humble. Amen. No pride. Another thing that the humble men don't have is a love for pleasure. The Bible said in the last days that be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I found this out. You can't stay at the throne of God and try to please the flesh. You'll crucify the flesh. You'll mortify the flesh. You'll try to get the old man out and let the new man shine forth. Brother, it's not pleasure that you're seeking. You find people that's always seeking after pleasure, wanting to do this and go there. Everything they're doing is a recreational activity. That's about the way their life is. You mark it down. They don't pray. You said, preacher, that's tough. It's true. Amen. You always are talking about where you're going, where you been, where you like to go. Amen. Wouldn't doubt if anybody, they said they're going to start flying to space one of these days. Some of y'all probably already done figuring out which trip you're going to make it on. Well, that's no pleasure to me. I'm going to take a ride, but it ain't going to be like that. Amen. I'll pass all that up. So pleasure. So they're men of pride, and men of pleasure do not pray like they ought to pray. And then there's something else they won't do. They won't have a real desire for possessions. You find a Christian tonight that's interested in having fine things of life. Nothing good, nothing wrong with having a T-bone. Amen. If you can afford it. As long as you don't starve your kids to death to eat it. Amen. But I'm saying to you tonight, all those possessions, good cars, good homes, good clothes. I found out you don't have to have all that. God didn't promise you He is going to give you all that anyhow. Amen, those things are good. But when you're living for possessions and all that you can acquire and all that you can get out of this world, can I tell you tonight, you're not a praying individual? I get down to the throne of God and I say, Lord, Lord, the old car ain't running good. And I'm not asking for a new vehicle. Just help me to keep this going. That's what you do. Pride, you know, rises up and said, I'm a pretty good fellow. I've done good and I go to church and I do all these things. So I deserve a brand new car. I mean, that's pride. But no, you get down and you say, Lord, help me to do with what I have. Amen. Just give me grace to carry. And I don't gripe, don't complain. I mean, that's what you do when you get to the throne of God. And brother, you begin to pray. It's not possessions. So praying men tonight are humble men. You'd pick that out. If you run around today with pleasure and possessions and pride, I'll tell you right now, you're not praying. If you start praying, God will get rid of all that for you. Amen. You'll learn to eat with a plastic spoon and not silverware. That's right. Amen. You'll be glad to eat out of a paper plate. Right. So let's go on a little bit. Praying men. They don't have pride. They're humble men. Number two, praying men are holy men, and same with ladies. Are they godly? Praying men and women are godly men and women. You don't have to worry about a praying man if he's getting in touch with God stealing you blind. If you do have some good silverware, you won't have to hide it when they come around. They won't steal your dimes and pennies out of the piggy bank. They won't rob you blind. They won't mistreat you. They love God. Because praying people tonight, they are morally good because they're godly. And they're godly because they love God. And godly because they're holy and they try to desire to be what God is. So praying men are holy men. Let me give you some things they do. Number one, they walk with God. I can give you scripture after scripture of men who walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Others have walked with God. Brother, throughout the Bible, they walked with God. Brother, when you walk hand in hand with God, you try to do right. And you try to be just like Him. I want to be holy like God is holy. I miss the mark. I come short. Brother, it bothers me. It disturbs me. I want to be like Him. Praying men are holy men. Not only that, they not only walk with God, but they wait on God. How many times you got ahead of God? How many times you sat back and you thought you need to help God out and do something? Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes we get ahead. We don't need to get ahead of God. Wait on God. God, He wants to bless you. He'll do it in His own due time. But we need to let God do it. They walk with God. They wait on God. Amen. They witness for God. Amen. You tell me tonight you hadn't witnessed to no soul in 3 or 4 days or 5 or 6 weeks or 6 months or a year, and I'm going to tell you, you have not been praying. Because when you pray, God will put it in your... You said, I don't like that, preacher. You may not like that. Brother, God showed me all these things, and that's exactly right. You find somebody won't pass out a gospel tract. Somebody won't tell somebody about Jesus. And somebody won't witness to somebody down the road somewhere. They're not praying. Because God will tell you that in your prayer life. Amen. They walk with God. They wait on God. They witness for God. And number four, they watch for Him. You tell me somebody tonight that is not wondering or not concerned about the coming of the Lord, getting up in the morning and saying He may come today, and before you go to bed said He might come tonight. And if you're not looking for the Lord every day of your life, it's because you're not praying. When you get in His eternal presence, brother, walk in that throne room. Brother, I'll tell you, get in. There's just a special place about the church house for me. Sometimes I'm up here, and when I come up here, I'm here by myself. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's in the day. Sometimes early morning. Sometimes late evening. But whenever I walk in that door and come in, nobody's here. Sometimes I don't even turn the lights on if it's just kind of dusky. And just the outside lights are shining in through the windows and through the door. And I walk in, and when I get, I just kind of feel a kind of a holy presence. And I say, Lord, this is where you meet with us every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And thank you, Lord, for showing up. And Lord, don't quit coming to see us. Just keep on coming back and seeing us down at Bible Way Baptist Church. And sometimes I'll sit on that back pew and I say, Lord, I want you to bless me real good. This is where I meet God every once in a while, right here. I meet him other places too, but this is what we got set aside for it. Brother, it's just a peculiar place. But I want to tell you something that's even better. Just get over there in my little old chair, and I sit back in that little desk chair, lean back, and I got the little arms on it. And thank God it's one of them that's not so comfortable enough to sleep in. Amen. I've tried it a few times, and you doze a little bit, and your neck will nearly break. I'm glad it's that way. I thought about getting me another one. And I thought, no, I'd be doing the wrong business. Amen. So I just like that old chair. And I lean back and I say, Lord. And the next thing you know, I'm getting in the throne room. And I'm in his presence. And there he is. And what a blessed place it is to get to sit there. And brother, I feel like I've been moved into a place of importance. And a nobody has just went somewhere. And there I am. I come up. Hey, it makes a difference. I get out of there, and the next thing I want to do is go witness. You see, people who pray, you can tell whether they pray or not. Amen. There'll be people who study their Bible. Praying people study their Bible. You can't pray without studying. And you can't study without praying either. Amen. It goes hand in hand. They not only study, but they'll stand for something. You find Christians today that won't stand for anything. Number one, they'll fall for anything or everything. But you find a Christian tonight that won't stand for the truth and stand up tall and be like the three Hebrew children when the music sounds. Get up on tiptoes to let the crowd know that you're standing and who you're standing for. Brother, I'll tell you tonight, praying people study. And they stand, amen, and they serve. They do. You find people won't serve God, they don't pray. I ain't never heard a sermon on this, have you? I've never heard it, never read it. But God gave me that sitting in that little uncomfortable chair this afternoon. And I believe what we need is this. We need to be stirred up to know. So praying men are humble men. Praying men are holy men. And praying men are powerful men. I would not want to go against any man, or especially a preacher, if they're prayer warriors. Huh? Let me just show you what I'm talking about. The little kids come out and talked about, oh ye bald head, to the preacher. And they went on down the road. They didn't think nothing about that, but she-bears come out and eat them up. I believe there's a lot of people, and I've read story after story down through the years. As a matter of fact, I read things in the scriptures, and I believe there's a lot of people went to a premature grave simply because they messed around with somebody who could pray. I don't believe a preacher tonight ought to be at the place that he would get anything on God. Somebody said, you know, we living in a day when people, what is it they do when they have a doll and it's what, voodoo? Is that what that is? I don't believe in all that junk. I know the power of Satan is strong. And I'm not going around cursing people. But I want to tell you tonight this. If you want to have God to get on your bad side, Amen. You just mess up with somebody praise. Criticize some prayer warrior. Criticize some preacher. Criticize some Christian that loves God. Keep your mouth off of them or you get yourself in trouble. Now, I don't reckon nobody been out talking about me. If you have, I'm hitting it in the head. Don't tell me you've been doing it. Amen. I'm saying tonight, I'd be afraid of that. You see, Elijah, he was a powerful man. He is able to pray. He took 450 prophets of Baal. They went down there, built the altar back up after they got through. And they laid that sacrifice down, poured water around the trench. And then old Elijah got up there and prayed 63 words. Why, I'd had to wrote a thesis. My prayer would have been like a set of encyclopedias. And I still wouldn't got nothing done. But Elijah prayed 63 words and fire come down out of heaven and licked it all up. He is a powerful man. Solomon was a powerful man. In 2 Chronicles, we'll go over and look what it says in chapter number 7. Hold your place there, but go over in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. And notice what happened. The Bible said, now when Solomon, verse number 1, 2 Chronicles 7, 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That sounds like pretty powerful to me. He was just a king. Amen. Look what happened to him. I read over in the book of Daniel that Daniel prayed. And he gave him the interpretation of the dreams. I read in the book of Genesis that God gave the interpretation of dreams to Joseph. And they were powerful men. When they gave forth their interpretation of it. I read throughout the Word of God that people who prayed, like Paul. I read in the book of Acts where that the church folks met together, and the place where they prayed, the foundation even shook, the building even shook where they were sitting. Brother, I want you to know there's power in men and women who pray. So we say tonight to people, praying men are humble men, praying men are holy men, and praying men are powerful men. And then I want you to look at this tonight. Go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Mark 11 and 25. This is very important. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 25. Now I want to go back up and read verse number 22. Notice this, it said, and Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? But that's not the key here, what I want to look at. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now notice in verse 25, here's the key. And it says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Praying men and women are men who practice forgiveness. You can tell how much you pray by how much you talk about people. You can tell how much you pray about how much you criticize somebody. And if you've got a knot in your heart that you cannot get over with somebody's treated you bad, may have been 25 years ago, may have been 30 years, might have been yesterday. But you can't get rid of it. And you don't have that forgiveness. You're either one of two things. You're lost, or you have a lack of prayer in your life. I found out in my later days, the more I pray, the more I love people. The more I pray, the less I despise people. Amen. Understand that? There's not but two kinds of people tonight that you ought to love. Number one, you ought to love the saved people. And number two, you ought to love the lost people. Somebody said, well, there's some old Christians say so-called Christians, I don't care too much for them. Well, you may not care too much for them, but you better love them. And you better have a forgiving spirit toward them. Somebody said, oh, I talked about my bald head 10 years ago. And every time I used to have a fellow like this, every time I'd see him, he would say, Dennis, aren't you ever going to lose no weight? He must not know me back then when I wasn't nothing but skin and bones. Been a while back, but there was a time. They always go back to these annuals, you know, at the school. You go back and see me, and I look at that, boy, he ain't nothing but a runt. You'd thought I was a runt. And now you think I'm a top dog at the trough or the hog at the trough. Amen, and I am. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is, look, he come by, and every time I met him, it might be 2 weeks, 6 months, but he'd say, boy, I believe you're just gaining weight all the time. And then he started getting fat and he quit. Amen. And every time he do it, I just say, Lord, fatten him up. Amen. You start talking about how fat I am and you're as skinny as a bean pole. You better watch it. I'm liable to get out there and say, Lord, put the fat around his eyes. He can't hardly see. Amen. Understand what I'm saying tonight? It may turn on you. But I had a hard time with that. For a long time, I said, oh no, here he comes. I despise to see him coming. I know what he's going to talk about. And I had a hard time with that. But amen, God give me victory over it. He can. You know where you get victory at tonight over that? In the throne room, praying, talking to the Lord. The Lord can change your attitude about me. The Lord can change your attitude about the church. The Lord can change your attitude about your meanest and most troublous person you ever met in your life. Matter of fact, they probably not even bothered with you, but you're bothered with them. And sometimes they've got more victory than you've got because you let it get you down. But I'll tell you tonight, looking at this, praying men are men with forgiven spirits. I would to God tonight we could get where we need to be. Have that forgiveness of people and things that they do. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be doing the same thing. And just think about it. There may be somebody out there somewhere that feels the same way about you that you feel about that person. And you don't even know it. And you think they're your good friends. We need to have a forgiving spirit. Praying men tonight, not only that, but praying men get their instructions in prayer. I read over in the book of Acts, I'll read over there right now. I'll turn to the book of Acts and give you this. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 is where I'm going. And we ought to be praying men. God tells us to pray. This is a different angle of praying, talking about praying tonight that we've had in a long time. Chapter 12, Acts and verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. What did they do? They prayed and they got the prison walls broke up. If you go back into the 10th chapter, Peter was praying, and when he got to praying, there come down a sheet knitted to four corners, and God gave him some instruction to go to the Gentiles, to the house of Cornelius. So I believe praying men and women get instruction. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 4 for the last one. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And when you get to Colossians chapter 4, look at verse number 3. And the Bible said, with all praying also for us, that God should open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I believe praying men and women tonight get their instructions, and God opens the effectual doors for them to do. Praying men and women always have a door open to them. If you want to know whether you pray or not, just see what God's doing with your life. If all you're doing is beating around the bush, drawing a paycheck, and buying groceries and watching television, that's something to brag about, and you stand before the judgment seat, ain't it? All I done is work, eat, sleep, watch TV. You think there'll be a reward for all that? Don't look at me like you think you don't know. Amen. God will open you some doors to step into. Every time, I'm amazed, and I've been in it for 50 years, and I've been amazed that every time one door closes, God opens two more. While you're going through them two doors, another's opening over yonder. And there's all, somebody said, I just ain't got nothing to do. I don't understand. You're not praying. If you would pray, God would open your door. You'd get out of, quit doing the foolishness you're in and get involved in the work. I don't know what to do. I like to work for God, but I don't know what to do. I've been there a time or two, 50 years ago. Amen. And I done, they come out one day, and they got up and they sung a song. Miss Burlma, you may remember this. And they talked about that we was going to leave an unfinished task. Remember the old song? And they was praying about it. And I got to thinking, I said, Lord have mercy. I'd love not, I hope I get all my work done before I walk out of this walk of life. I hope the Lord lets me catch it all up. I hope He lets me get it all done and sit back and look at it. And boy, I done give up on that about 30 years ago. Amen. I got more to do tonight than I'll ever get done. You just don't know what's running through my head and through my heart. You just don't know what I get involved in all the time between me and God and between the church. Listen, we're never going to get the job done, but some of us ain't never started. I don't know what to do. Have you ever thought about getting down and saying, Lord, I go over here and the door don't open. I turn left, there ain't no door. I go that angle, ain't no door. Nothing opens, I'm just boxed in. Amen. You start praying and telling God you want to do something. I double dog dare some of you to get down tonight and say, God, show me what to do. Give me something to do. I'm bored in this walk of life. I dare you. And beg God and pray. I know some of you said, well, if I was a young man, I'd do that. But when you was a young man, you didn't. You said, if I was a little older, didn't have as much to do raising a family, I'd do that, preacher. I ain't so sure you will. I know some of you have done got there, and now you sit down and quit. Some folks retired on God before they ever went anywhere. Amen. Some never got started. Some of you just in a rocking chair on the porch for God. Amen. Just watching the traffic go by. Men and women going to hell and souls lost. And we're not doing anything. Ladies and gentlemen, we can tell whether we pray or not. Because when you pray, you start seeing things of God happening in your life. You not only see it, but others see it. Have you ever seen people in a church and you said, "Boy, God touches them. God moves on it." Have you ever considered that they may be those who pray? I found this out. I've never been in the throne of God and come out the same way I went in. I'm getting trouble and need. And I go before God and I say, "Oh God, I need some help. I need some touch." Listen, and you know, lightning didn't strike while I was there. Thunder didn't roll. The foundation didn't shake. No audible voice spoke. But somehow when I come out and got up, I didn't have that old big burden I had before. My prayer wasn't answered. But in my heart, I felt like it's going to be, because God had given me faith to believe. And I felt better. Still had the same problems. Still had the same clouds over me. Still had the same trials facing. But I could walk down the road, seemed like a little bit better with a spring in my step. God's going to move in, and God just done something. I don't know what He's going to do, but He's going to do it. And sometime before the day's out, I watch God do it. Sometimes before the week's out, I watch God do it. Sometime before the month was out, I saw God do it. Sometime before the year was out, amen, I saw God do it. And sometime before this life's over, I'm going to see Him do some more. Hallelujah. I praise God for His goodness. I can tell whether you pray or not by your attitude. And the way you walk and the way you talk and the way you live and what you're interested in. Oh, I know every once in a while we all get weak. We grab something, look at this, and, you know, head in that direction. I hadn't always walked a straight line. I've detoured a lot of times, and there wasn't no detour sign. And I've even put up a few so I could turn right or left. But God gets you back on that beaten path down the road. Heads bowed and eyes closed.